Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Welcome, everyone. We're so thrilled that you are here, and I am excited to introduce you to Leslie Hassler. Her company is called Your Biz Rules. So welcome to the show, Leslie. Lovely to have you.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. We're going to have a great time, aren't we?
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your business and what you do and kind of how you got there.
Sure. So our business, Your Biz Rules, is a fractional C-suite firm, which basically means we can be a one-stop shop for our clients. What we do is, what we're really great at doing is creating more profits in a business so you're cash flow positive, but also helping business owners grow and scale in our Scaling Rich methodology, which is really about sustainability so that you don't burn out or go broke in the process of trying to grow, but also doing it in a way that improves your quality of life so that you actually get that freedom you started your business for in the first place.
I love that. Yes, we want to stay away from burnout and going broke.
Yes, generally advisable.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk today a little bit about your Scaling Rich program and kind of what that entails. So the long description I have is 9 strategies for sustainable business growth. So why don't you pick like your favorite one or your starting one, and let's kind of talk about how that works.
Yeah, and I love that you've asked that question. So thank you. And I want to break it down to maybe even some more simple ways to look at it. So the first element that you've got to think about is about clarity. And clarity is super important, especially the longer you've been in business. I think it's super easy to be clear, somewhat clear when you first start out. But then as you're growing and you're scaling, it gets a little more garbled because you're taking advantage of opportunities, maybe not always if they're in alignment, which is actually our second aspect of Scaling Rich, which is alignment. So if you've got clarity, then you can bring the business into alignment. And this is super important because for the same reasons we're just starting to go, it is very often that the business owner maybe matures and develops and elevates, but the business doesn't always come along. So we have to bring things into alignment. And that alignment is based on your clarity. And then the third big chunk that we're looking for is leverage. Now, what is leverage? Leverage is the ability to do, how about this? Instead of everyone hears, do more with less. All right, that's kind of a scarcity mindset. We really believe in getting more from what you're doing. That's a leverage concept, right? So it really comes down to clarity, alignment, and leverage.
I love that. Get more from what I'm writing this down. You're doing. It's so interesting. I remember when I was first in business many, many moons ago, and I thought this word leverage was so big and cool, but I didn't really know what it meant.
Yeah. You know, it's actually one of the most popular web articles on our website is those around leverage. And I think we're all looking for getting more from our efforts. And it is super critical. You may not always be ready for it, but it is super critical to have this in mind as you're looking to grow to scale, because it is the difference between growing with ease and growing through sheer effort, which eventually leads to burnout.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what types of leverage do you help your companies with, your clients?
So we're looking and leverage in a couple of different ways. The number one is through people. Now, that I like to call team as a very broad umbrella because it includes employees, it includes 1099s, it includes subcontractors. And every stage and age of business has a different need for both. So I think we have so many more linear prescribed methodologies of growth, and in today's market, I think you need something a little more fluid, a little bit more that ebbs and flows, and understanding where do you need that concrete employee that needs to be there all the time, but then how do you accommodate a swell of business, but not necessarily a swell of expenses that come along with it. And that's when you really do need, you know, outside parties, either it's 1099 or subcontractors to help shelter that load. But it's an advanced move. It is an advanced profitability move as well. So people is probably one of the best sources of that. Time would be another one of those things. But then you also get a lot more leverage through getting greater productivity in the business. And that's going to be through systems and technology, process, those types of things, which just amplify your leverage from people. So there are these levels, if you will. We have this five levels of leverage that we can talk to if we have a moment, but it really is an evolution in business. And I think what the biggest mistake we see is people try to go too high too fast, and they don't put in the building blocks into place so that they're successful.
I love that. Yeah. And probably the people who are overwhelmed are not doing it at all and thinking, I can do all of this.
Telling my team today, I went, don't get me wrong, I'm pretty super. I'm just not superwoman. You know, like you're going to have to remember I'm human too.
I love that. Well, we help our clients with outsourcing a lot of different aspects of their business. So we are big fans of leveraging people. And then time, of course, and productivity, systems and processes. We always laugh. SOPs are not sexy, but they're so necessary.
They are. And honestly, even in SOPs, because we do a lot of work with our clients, that's one element that we spend a lot of time in. I think what people are so used to is that binder that we maybe got in our first corporate job that you just put up on a bookshelf and you never looked at. That isn't worth your time to develop, right? And it's a little old paradigm. We're going to talk about, and there's a new paradigm. It's our old paradigm that we're going to need to shed. Really, when it comes to SOPs, what we want to do is operationalize them, right? So that they're part of the ever evolving, living, breathing aspect of what people do in your company. That's the difference. And I agree with you, maybe not the sexiest thing in the world. However, if you want to stop being the one that's doing it all, you know, if you don't want to have to worry about the decisions that your team is making, if you don't do these, you're not going to win. It's just impossible to do it because no one in your company is a mind reader. None. I've yet to hire one. If you have them, do you have one of those on your staff? We could hire them, right? No one's mind, but everybody wants to do a really great job. And I we just believe in that. So SOPs, they're like water. They're not always sexy, but you need it.
Oh, no, absolutely. Without a doubt. What I think my business partner says, if you do something that has three steps and do it three times, you need to have a process for it, because that means that it's something that's going to be recurring and it has multiple steps. And, you know, it's those things, especially that we do or that our team does, that don't happen every day, maybe once a month or, you know, a couple times a month. But all steps are important in that.
Steps are important. And I love that you gave that example, because it speaks to the simplicity. And even the simplest things, they need that type of structure. And it's really the structure that sets you free, that you need so much in your business to be able to get to that next level, to even think about leverage. It's kind of the secret sauce.
And it's funny because I think some people don't want structure, especially entrepreneurs, because they think that's constricting, when in fact it's the opposite, isn't it? Structure and, you know, SOPs help you get things done faster and more effectively. And that gives you the time to do other things that you need the creative freedom for. Do you think so?
I agree with you. I think people are in two camps. I have, and I will honestly say I'm in the first camp. My natural personality is in the first camp of, I have a high freedom gene. I don't really like repetition. It's not my friend in a lot of ways, but The truth is, it kept me away. A lack of structure keeps me away from the freedom I say that I want. And so because the freedom is more important to me than my distaste for maybe structure, I let that go. I just let that ego go. And now I'm like, does it give me more freedom? If it does, I'm all on board and let's go. I think though there's also this other camp we have to talk about where people over structure and it capsizes, it slows the business down. I just wrote an article on this, especially in like, how do you motivate employees and team and keep everyone on the same page? And I was like, you know, our old paradigm is either the carrot or the stick. And I was like, the thing is that a carrot is very subjective. What motivates me doesn't motivate you, doesn't motivate Joan, doesn't motivate the next person, right? So that's a hard one to get. So people lean into the stick. And I say, and this is that area of people putting too much structure. They're trying to protect against so much that you effectively are strangling the business. You scare away clients. You're only attracting really not the best team members because the best team members don't thrive in that environment. So if we need this, you know, it's the, what is it? It's the Goldilocks moment, the just right moment. And that does vary, but business by business. We have some companies that are high compliance industries where there's a lot of regulation, and so there's a little more structure, right? We have some others that maybe it's not. And you have to find that sweet spot, I think, from a business standpoint. But truly, you need structure. The structure will set you free, hands down, every day of the week.
I love that. I love that. And I love how you pointed out that too much structure, especially when you bring on team members, ideally you're bringing on someone who has some kind of expertise or someone who has, you know, a talent. And so you need to let that thrive and grow as well.
Exactly.
Love that. Okay. So you said new paradigm. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to move on to one of your other 9 processes or strategies?
It's an important conversation. It's one that I'm on a little bit of a bandwagon for. So we've experienced a tremendous amount of change. If you even just say 2020 was actually a pivotal year for a lot of different reasons, but it marks a point in time where change happened even faster. In fact, a lot of the estimates say that the amount of change we went through in that 1 year was the equivalent of 5 previous years, right? So that is huge, and it hasn't slowed down. I don't know about for you, has not slowed down for us. So we're in this race of feeling maybe just a little out of control. This is, I think, the quintessential illustration of old paradigm versus new paradigm. So if I give you like a growth measure, old paradigm, it used to be 14.4% growth year over year for 5 years would double your business. Well, now you can double your business in months, right? You can do it in 6 months. We've done it for companies. We've done it for our own business. You can do this, but our brains are having a hard time rationalizing the safety of that, right? Because we're still operating on this old operating system, this old paradigm. So what the goal, or even like the premise of Scaling Rich is that, you know what, we're never going to knock 14.4% because some years that's a win. But we're trying to open the doorway, open the possibility to more exponential growth year over year, just doing it in a sustainable methodology. Because on the flip side, I always talk in ends to our spectrum. The flip side of the spectrum is the concept called blitzscaling. It's most popularized by, you know, SaaS companies and our unicorns that kind of just blow up overnight and suddenly in 12 months, they're worth $40 billion in valuation. But those companies are also have a higher propensity to burn out and collapse and to be some of the worst stories, you know, within 18 or 24 months of their best story. That's blitzscaling. Blitzscaling says that growth should be the priority and everything else is a cost of doing business. Doesn't matter who you're going to burn through as personnel, yourself, or cash, or anything else. The name of the game is to get to that big state so that hopefully you've got enough that it can then stabilize. Well, okay, we got to get somewhere in the middle. Again, we're looking for the Goldilocks moment. And that is part of breaking down some of the old paradigms and bringing in some of the new paradigms and helping our clients realize they're still in control. But honestly, you never really were in control. I think control's a little bit of a I don't know. A farce. I don't know. I have two kids that are boys and they're in college. God love them. I'm so excited we made it to college. And and I have a dog and a cat. And I gotta let you know, I'm just not in control. I help guide the chaos. And I think that's what I see our roles really being as the owners in a company is guiding the chaos to a good end benefit where everybody is succeeding and everybody's winning as part of the equation. So there's a lot in there, but that's probably the biggest reason we need to start talking about what are the old paradigm shifts we need to walk away from, and what are the new paradigm shifts we need to start adopting.
I love that. Yeah, because people say, oh, I want to grow. I want a, multi-million dollar business. But
Yeah.
that's great. I love that. That's inspiring. But are you ready for that? Are you building, you said, building those blocks? I love what how you said, oh, some people grow that so quickly. It made me think of like people who win the lottery. You
Yeah.
know, their lifestyle and their choices are not prepared for that kind of influx of cash, and a lot of them end up in a really bad place or back in the same place
Yeah.
after not a very long time. So it's a mindset shift, it's a paradigm shift.
Yeah, and I think it's only going to become more prevalent and more evident of the businesses that can shift and the businesses that are holding on tight. So yeah, I just want to see more people succeed at the end of the day.
I love that. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, old paradigm, new paradigm. It's so interesting because I will confess, I used to work in a 9 to 5. I worked in advertising and I worked in ad sales for actually MTV Networks. And it's interesting to think, I don't know if I could go back.
Oh,
Like it would
you'll
be so different. I mean, it was a long time ago.
completely unemployable. I mean, there's just no question about it. I was always a great employee, but I have always had an entrepreneurial mindset. And I'd be like, so I've just brought in a third of a company payroll. My entire team is good. By my estimates, we are profitable. It was so funny, the owner of the company there, and he goes, how do you know? And I'm like, because I can do math. I'm like, see what you're offering these jobs for. I can approximate. I know what we're charging for on a per hour basis because I'm the one putting together the quote. And I have an advertising background as well, where when I first started in client management, I had a P&L that I was responsible for my clients on, right? And that profitability was how we were compensated and how we were, evaluated. So to be in a company I didn't know my impact, I was like, well, I can figure this out. I've been doing this for 5 years, So I know I always had the entrepreneurial mindset because I'd be like, hey, it's 4 o'clock on Friday. I'm done. Do I have to actually sit here for another hour? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, would you walk around your company and see how many people, I'm so gonna date myself in the moment, are on MySpace? And then just know that I actually have worked my 39 hours. So I think I'm gonna bugger out for 4 o'clock on Friday,
That's so great. I so totally get that. And that was one of my arguments for, for being an entrepreneur was like, why do I have to sit here? I'm done. I'm just done.
Yeah. And
That's
that's a
it.
hard skill to develop as an entrepreneur, is knowing when to get up and walk away from your desk, even if you could see my
Yeah.
office. Oh my gosh, it looks like a hurricane came through. But at the end of the day, you got to get up.
Yeah, you have to get up. But yeah, as an entrepreneur, there's always something to do. Always.
Here. For
Always.
sure.
I love that. Let's talk about if someone were in a position where they were not at the level they wanted to be, and they want to know what the next steps are, kind of what kind of suggestion or tip could you give them to help them kind of identify that and at least maybe take the next step in that direction?
That is a really big question. We actually do a service called the business audit to answer this question because it's super simple for me to give you a stock answer, Right. But what we have seen is that every business is very different. I can have two companies come in, same revenue amount. We have one company, we took them from like half a million to 2 million in 9 months. I will tell you, that's not the normal case. Not everybody's ready, right? And I can have another half a million company come in, and we spend the next year putting in the foundations of a business because they're typically not ready to scale. So I am actually going to give you a question back. I'm not even going to give you an answer. And I would be wary of anybody that would give you an answer, honestly. And here's why. I would go, if I were coming in and you were asking me that question about your business, this is the question I would ask. If I were to triple your business in the next 15, 60 days, what would break?
Ooh, I love that.
Right? Because you know that answer, don't you? I would break. My team would break. We wouldn't have X. There's no way we could bring on that many clients. There's no way that we could do X, Y, and Z. And suddenly you get a laundry list. That might be where to start, right? Because you actually probably already know. You just need to ask yourself that question. And that's the low-hanging fruit of things we start until we get the business audit done. And then right? We use the facts and the figure of the business, the performance of the business, plus the clarity from the owner of, okay, why are we building this? To what end? What does it do for you? What does that look like? What does the business need to do for you to actually pay you back everything you've put into the business? When you marry those two things, you get a strategic plan. We know exactly what to do for the next year in a business to just keep it trucking along and to get good growth, but in a sustainable way that produces some profits along the way. So, I know that wasn't a direct answer, but I actually think it might have been the best answer.
I think it's perfect because people who are listening can say, okay, I can do that. I can visualize, what will break. And then now I know, okay, those are different parts that I need to work on to get to the right place so that I can triple my business.
Exactly. You do have to be ready. Too many people try to go from crawling to flying and fall in the middle. Or I like to say, if your biggest issue is cash, growth won't always fix it because growth devours cash. Scalability produces cash, right? So you have to be really honest about where your business is and not necessarily looking for the hail magic potion solutions because oftentimes they won't fix the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Has been fantastic. You are a wealth of information, Leslie. If people are saying, "Wow, she's speaking my language, I need to talk to her," what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, we have a page just for your listeners, so you'll be able to get that at yourbizrules.com/six. So the word six spelt out SIX. And what you're going to find there is a few things. So first off, we actually have a master class on the nine different areas of scalability for a business so that you can get deep and really get a better understanding of what there is to help. We also have access to our first this then that when Scaling Rich comes out, we'll add it to that page. And then if you need more help than that, you're ready for a little bit of support, there's a way to reach out and talk with us and see if we can how we can help you reach that next level.
I love that. That is fantastic. Thank you for doing that for our listeners.
You're
Thank you so
welcome.
much.
Happy to.
And we will absolutely put that in the show notes. And yeah, Leslie, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and telling us about the Scaling Rich program and, just kind of talking through some really, really important things to know and to think about when you are thinking about expanding and growing. So thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a blast. Enjoyed it.
Good.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.